This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. Part of what Donald Trump ran on and won with was the idea that the United States isn't getting its fair share of the global economic pie, hence the slogan America First and the president's interpretation of it, which boils down to protectionism. That's today's installment of our series, Trade-Off, the Costs and Benefits of Globalization. You know, the Trumpian approach to global trade might feel different compared to recent history, but the American industrial economy finds its roots in protectionism going all the way back to this guy.
Don't be shocked when your history book mentions me. I will lay down my life if it sets us free. Eventually, you'll see my ascendancy.
Marketplace's Sarah Gardner takes it from there.
Protectionism comes in a lot of different flavors. It could be a tax on imports, a ban on immigrants from a certain country, or a rule limiting foreign investment. But it all comes down to gatekeeping, controlling who and what flows across your borders in the name of national prosperity and security. Let's take that part about what flows across borders, the stuff we buy and sell. America's got a long history of keeping out imports when it suits us, and that goes as far back as, well, you might call Alexander Hamilton our original protectionist. Now, the Broadway musical skipped over it, so to find that Hamilton, you have to go to Jersey. Patterson, New Jersey. Drive through town and you pass bodegas, pawn shops, discount stores, and then you come to something totally unexpected. A national park, complete with a wisecracking park ranger, Smokey Bear hat and all.
My name's Elise, and I'm highly entertaining. So
Elise Goldman is supervisory park ranger at Patterson Great Falls National Historical Park. This is where the Passaic River falls into a stunning 77-foot chasm.
All right, get your cameras ready. It is a beautiful view.
Goldman tells us Alexander Hamilton actually picnicked here with George Washington during the American Revolution. They ate cold ham and tongue. They drank alcohol. And maybe they planted the first seeds of American manufacturing. Now, we don't know what they said exactly, so Goldman invents some lines for Hamilton.
He gets up from the picnic, he goes over to the chasm, he looks at the falls, and he says, wow, you know, water's powerful.
Powerful enough to turn water wheels to run cotton mills. The British had banned the colonies from importing anything that would empower them to build their own factories. So after the U.S. wins its independence, Hamilton, he's now Treasury Secretary, he wants to change that. An aide writes to him suggesting Passaic Falls might be a good place to build textile mills.
He's sitting at a desk. It's late one night. He reads the letter and he says, oh my God, I totally remember that place. We had tongue.
So Hamilton gets some investors together, and he makes the intellectual argument for homegrown industries in something called the Report on Manufacturers, a real slog, but important. So we took a cue from Hamilton the musical and translated a key idea from the report into lyrics. Now, stay with me. I'm not going to perform, I promise. We called in a professional, Javon Carter, from the Stooges Brass Band.
All right, man, let me get his head shot.
So you want to be free? So you want to be free? So of British tyranny? Of British tyranny? Then gentlemen build? Then gentlemen build? An American factory? An American factory? We'll tax the goods so high? The goods so high? It'll be foolish to buy? It'll be foolish to buy? Anything but American? Buy American?
Tax imports by American. You get the idea. That's part of what economists call the infant industries argument for protectionism, helping shield fledgling industries from seasoned foreign competitors so they can get big enough to play with the big kids someday. Hamilton also pushed for government subsidies, money to give homegrown industries a competitive edge. That's another kind of protectionism, but that wasn't as popular back then. Now, Hamilton didn't live to see it. He died in 1804 after dueling with the vice president. But eventually, after several decades, the experiment at Passaic Falls worked. Patterson became a quintessential American factory town.
That small building was the powerhouse to the Ivanhoe paper mill.
Paper and cotton, silk, guns. Patterson and other early American industrial cities succeeded partly because Congress imposed tariffs on foreign goods. In 1816, the U.S. adopted the first tariff specifically to keep out imports, not just feed government coffers. And that launched a long history of American protectionism and a fierce debate over free trade that's still alive today.
I think it's hard for us nowadays to appreciate the extent to which in the 19th century, the tariff was, for many people, a religious conviction.
American historian Eric Rauchway at the University of California, Davis.
Of course, for Republicans and for the majority view in the 19th and early 20th century, to be pro-tariff was to be American.
In fact, some called the GOP the grand old protectionists. Free trade sounded suspiciously unpatriotic. So protectionism, not free trade, was the American way for much of our history. We hear President Trump complain that China unfairly props up its steel industry, dumping cheap steel into global markets. That makes it hard for American steel to compete. People lose their jobs. Well, reality check, we were an emerging protectionist nation once, too. But there's a wrinkle here, and an important one. Some people argue, look, protectionism built America, and we developed into a world power by putting America first.
But what that argument overlooks is the fact that we were completely open to migration. So we had a lot of immigrants.
Dartmouth historian Douglas Irwin says on the whole,
we were completely open to capital flows, and we borrowed a lot of money from British financiers. We were completely open to foreign technology. So we weren't really a closed economy in the 19th century. We were limited trade, but we were open in terms of ideas, capital, the movement of people.
At the end of that tour in Patterson, I ask another tourist, Antonio Montez, what he thinks about free trade. He's worked in manufacturing, law enforcement, now private security. And like a lot of Americans, Montez is searching for that sweet spot when it comes to globalization.
Free trade, I heard us in an extent, but at the same time, free trade, that helped us. But I think we need to look more and be protective of the U.S., because personally, I've been overseas, a veteran. We give a lot to other countries, and we're not getting nothing back in return.
Alexander Hamilton might have related. He wanted to put America first, too. But Hamilton also understood that protectionism comes at a cost, mainly higher prices for consumers. Hamilton never envisioned protectionism without an expiration date. Ron Chernow, he authored the Hamilton biography that inspired the musical. He writes that in the America Hamilton imagined, tariffs were moderate, temporary, and repealed as soon as possible. In Paterson, New Jersey, I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.